4. So on tonight's show, we're going to be talking to the amazing Scott West, also known as King Dinosaur, to those of us who know him from the chat room here in the Nightcaps. But Scott is a lovely fella, and he has just completed the amazing task of releasing his second book. So, do you know what? Why waste any more time? We're just going to go ahead and do this. There we are. There's Scott West. So, Scott, say hello to everybody. It's been a little while.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me on the show. It has been a while. Jeez. I think we barely knew each other the first time you had me on. That was a long time ago, man.
It seems like that was like 100 years ago at this point, which is, you know, strange, but
very strange. Yeah, I was living in a different place even, so I've moved since then. Lots of things have happened since then.
Yeah, a lot of stuff has happened since then. But we have all sorts of lovely people to say hello here to you tonight. We have Black Cats Poppy. We have Krista here. We have Flixology 101, who's stopped on by.
Hey,
and This Fool's Life, awesome. Who's here as well.
This Fool's.
You know, I don't know if you're reading or can see the chat, but Flixology says, congratulations on the book. Everybody else is saying hello, waving hello.
Thank you.
Great to see your
I
lovely...
can't see. Is there a way I can see the chat?
You'd probably have to pull this up on a second device if you're going to do that.
All right.
If I turn my video on, it would be on there, but it would be teeny tiny on the side of the screen. So
that's fine.
If you have any questions for Scott, type them in the chat and we'll field those over to Scott. So let's get right to it, man. This book, I know you've been working on this for quite some time, had some issues with art and all that. So, you know, tell us all about it, man. This is you're a veteran now. You're a veteran twice times.
Well, yeah, I've had all kinds of issues. I've been trying to get something out for the last, I don't know, man, 3 years maybe. I'm embarrassed to say how long it's been since my novel was published. So I have two other novels unfinished, were sort of the main, those are at like 30,000+ words, and I just stalled out on both of them. But I really wanted to have some, I hate to call it this, but I wanted to have some product out, you know, to look like, yeah, I'm still writing, still doing stuff. So I had the idea of, why not put together a short story collection? Seemed like it would be simple. The only problem was I only had a few finished stories, and so I ended up having to write I'll say this spans from my very first actual published in a periodical story, probably like 20 years ago now, all the way up to literally right before this book was done. So, 10 stories, I thought that'd be a good number, and they're all over the place. They don't fall into any one category. That's why I wanted to call it. I've actually been sitting on this title for a book for, I don't know, a good chunk of my life, honestly. I was like, someday I'm going to have a book called Strange Stories for Weird People. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to look like. But so that dream has come true, finally. And I don't know. I just put it together, finally. Had the help of a coworker, actually, because I also am embarrassed to say, the navigating the Amazon Kindle direct publishing thing, not my bag. I don't like any of this stuff other than the creative part. I like the writing, and you know, I was this way in my band too. I like playing the music. I don't want to book gigs. I don't want to put the records. I don't want to do any of that stuff. I just want to do the creative parts, and that's kind of the way I was with this. So I hired someone to help me do that, and it's a good thing because, yeah, once we had the cover, should I talk about the cover?
Well, yes, you should. Two quick things. Number one, Black Cat says, "This should start coming out
Okay.
like axle grease now." So yeah, you broke the seal. And Flixology 101 just read The Pub and says, "I wonder why."
Yeah.
And then yeah, Chris has been spreading the word for sales. But you know, before
Thank
we
you.
get to talking about the cover, man, here's a cheers to you, dude. So here's a cheers
Cheers.
and a hat. Well,
Cheers to you.
I'm not gonna pull off my cooling head wrap, but hats off to you.
Thank you, sir. Cheers. Cheers, everybody out there. I have some delicious, really cheap red wine.
It's all right, whether it's 2 buck chuck or whatever, as long as you're enjoying it, it doesn't matter, right? So yeah, let's talk about the cover real quick. I know you were having a little bit of some issues with that, but tell us about this artwork in the cover on here because you know, this book to me, and we can talk about this a little, maybe a little bit later, but and I say this with the highest acclaim, reminds me of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark and those sort of books with just the incredible artwork. I mean, even the little claw hands on the back clutching the tombstone to some of the little pictures before each chapter. You have these little faded out of existence. Oh well. But yeah, tell us about the cover. Tell us about how that came about.
Okay, well, thanks, first of all. I take that as a compliment. I actually own those scary story books for the art. I had in mind for as long as I've been putting this thing together, what did I say, like 3 years that I've been thinking about getting something out. I had it in mind that I wanted, this is a coworker of mine. His name's Timothy Murphy, and he makes mini comics, and they're all so charmingly macabre, you know. They're all a little weirdly creepy, but somehow cute. I just really like his style. And in the back of my mind, I was like, man, I'd like to get him to do a cover. But I didn't know what to do. I just knew I wanted a book. And so it was all very vague. I was just like, I would like Timothy to, whatever it is, I want to see if Timothy would be into doing a book cover. So when I finally had the idea for this, I approached him, and it's not something he'd ever done before, so he was excited to do it. And we kind of worked together, idea wise. And I pretty much just gave him free rein, really. You know, we threw some ideas around, and I said, "Do whatever you want. Let me see it. You know, if I'll approve it or not." You know, and he pretty much hit it out of the park right off the bat. Like the first stuff he gave me, they were just sketches. They were real similar to the finished product. I was like, "Man, I like where you're going. Let's do that." So, yeah, you have this little, for those that don't have the book, little grid of characters here. These are all from one story in the book, Sepulcro, De Demonios. It's a paranormal luchador story. And I just loved what he did. And the back cover also, I'm a big fan. He had the idea of, because I said I wanted some text on the back. And my idea was like a scroll or something, like an ancient looking open scroll. And he came back with the idea of the tombstone. And then I was kicking myself because I was like, man, that's perfect. So wrote the text on the tombstone. So the problem though, and I love it, I think he's amazing. His emails in there for work, his emails in the front of the book. and you can contact him or just send him a message. Say, man, really love your art. Oh, before I move on, I wanted to say, because you had sent me a message the other day, saying how much you liked the cover and how it really stood out in this age of like AI stuff. And I just want to point out that's another reason why I wanted to work with him. So not only is this hand drawn, it's inked. It's freaking inked with a quill pen, man.
Oh shit.
Yeah, this guy's doing like 1950s style cartooning,
Oh
and
dude, that's so cool.
yeah, it's incredible. He's a great artist, and his little mini comics are really fun. So, but yeah, the problem came when we were trying to format this thing. So lesson learned, any indie writers out there that are thinking of putting a book out on your own, Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing does not like artwork with borders. For some reason, it fucks with their shit somehow. So getting this thing
To
the
fit.
way we wanted, yeah, I don't understand it. I don't know why. And it was such a hassle that we ended up, let me show you.
Hello, Moogle.
The original spine was drawn by Timothy too. You probably can't see it too well, but it was supposed to look like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like hand drawn and everything. And we just kept getting rejections. Every time we'd put it up ready to publish, that I'd get a rejection. Like, fix this and this and this and this and this. It was a huge pain in the ass because it was basically done and ready to go for I don't know how long while we were fighting with this cover. So finally, out of desperation, I just said, hold on, I'm gonna fix this. So I just made this plain black
Yeah, so in case you
cover, and
can't
I
see
just
it, it's
chose a
just
font
a
that,
yeah, that's just a black spine with just some the text on it there, but
like gray, kind of silvery. I just chose a font that I thought didn't look too cheesy. And honestly, though, I think it turned out looking pretty cool.
oh,
So
hell
I'm
yeah.
actually, yeah, I'm not sad at all about how the spine worked out. But yeah, that's the story of the cover and kind of how everything came together as far as the nuts and bolts.
So we have Flixology 101 and Black Cat both say slash agree that that's Edward Gorey-esque. So yeah, it definitely has that sort of art style to it. And
I also agree. Yes. I'd add that. I always thought his work was like Edward Gorey mixed with Tim Burton. Kind of the early Tim Burton with
yeah.
his weird characters, so
And then Black Cat was asking if he read the stories first before doing the artwork.
He did not. No. Well, I sent him the wrestler story. He read this, so he knew, he knew like there was a little goat in it, so he put a little goat on there. But he did not read the other stories. But that brings up a hopefully interesting little thing about. So before each story, there's a picture also drawn by Timothy. I can't see what I'm doing here. It's an owl on a tombstone. This is sort of like, hey, we're starting a new story.
Love it.
Originally, my idea that I asked him to do was to do an individual drawing with something having to do with each story, which I thought would be really cool. And he gave me some preliminary drawings for that. Unfortunately, Timothy has a physical problem that he's been dealing with, and it was getting worse while he was doing this,
Damn.
which makes me appreciate it even more. Yeah, he's like his hands would be like go numb basically. which for an artist, that's kind of the worst thing that could happen. And some other stuff. I won't give all his personal stuff, but he was dealing with a lot of physical adversity while he was drawing these. I kept telling him, just take your time, or if you can't do it, or whatever. But he was determined. The only thing he couldn't do was finish those chapter drawings. But I think the little owl on the tombstone is cool, and I'm pretty happy with that. So that's how that ended up being that way.
So the next thing that I wanted to talk to you about a little bit is your introduction at the beginning.
Okay.
I thought that was pretty cool that not only did you give sort of your here's what this kind of means to me and what the title means, but also sort of your history of, I guess, yourself, where your love for a lot of this came from, sort of from your childhood, from your school years. And then I thought it was cool
Yeah.
that you went through and gave sort of a little preliminary introduction to each of the stories as well. And you don't often see that in a lot of anthology stories. I think probably that's part and parcel because these were all done by you. But
Yeah.
talk about that just a little bit. Why you sort of felt that you really wanted to do this sort of introduction, what that meant to you. Was that sort of a I did it moment?
Well, yeah, I mean, a little bit, definitely. And there's a few reasons for that. One, well, the pragmatic reason right off the bat is this is a kind of a short book, and I thought with an introduction it would bulk it up a little bit. So there's the kind of cynical pragmatic reason. But yeah, really, I just kind of wanted to do it like I say in the intro, Harlan Ellison fan. And part of what I enjoy about opening up a Harlan Ellison book is there's always going to be an introduction. And not just him, but like I really enjoy reading the introductions to the early Stephen King short story collections. And really, I've found that any writer that I find interesting, when I read something in their own voice, kind of explaining where they're coming from and what the stories mean, I just find that not just interesting, but I don't know, kind of makes me feel like I have more of a connection to the book and to the stories. And honestly, another part of me was like, is this kind of pretentious? Like, nobody knows who the fuck I am. Who's going to want to read an introduction? I'm
No,
not
we
Stephen King. I'm not Harlan Ellison. This is my second book. What am I doing writing an introduction? But the other thing was that I found I actually did have stuff I wanted to say. And I mean it, the stuff I say in the introduction about the mainstream kind of co-opting the stuff that I was considered weird for when I was a little kid, or not even a little kid, even into my teenage years, where I would literally get picked on and physically abused sometimes. And I'd watched friends of mine get it, worse than me. Stuff that is so mainstream now that it's ridiculous. Like, you see little 5-year-olds with bright green hair and, earrings and stuff now. Like I say in my introduction, my friend Riff would get in fights at school all the time because he got a mohawk and dyed it funky colors, Now that's nothing. Nobody cares about that stuff
Wow.
anymore. And, but that's all stuff that colored my perception of everything, really. the stuff I grew up liking and was kind of despised for by a lot of people. And then kind of just made me like it even harder. So I just felt like I wanted to write something about that. And I thought with the title and everything, just seemed like something I had to do. And then I wanted to explain the stories, the little each individual story part in the introduction, because I thought that would be challenging to see if I could just write about the story without actually giving anything away
Right.
at all. I thought that would be a challenge, and I think I did pretty good. I think if you read that introduction, you can still read the stories and be surprised. I don't think I gave anything away that's going to ruin any of the stories. So,
Yeah, no, not so far. Yeah.
cool. But yeah, that was basically it. And maybe a little tiny bit of hubris being like, yeah, I finally have another book out, damn it. So you have to read this introduction now. And it ended up being kind of fun. It was not as hard as I thought it would be. Once I started writing, once I figured out what I wanted to say, it really just kind of flowed. So.
Well, Black Cat thought that was personal and applauded it. And Krista says to be weird, one must define normalcy. And I think that's exactly, I think that's just exactly it. That, I've talked on the show before about overuse of the word nerdy and geeky, and that it's like, just because you happen to enjoy the new Star Trek series that came out, or you watch the Star Wars movies, like it was never about the thing. It was always about you like or being into a thing that, yeah, everyone else thinks you're a bizarre person for liking, or you're obsessed with it to the point where you either have a lack of hygiene or social awkwardness or whatever. I mean, you could have been the star captain of the football team, and if you happen to like Super Mario Brothers, nobody was going to call you a nerd. You could
Right.
be,
Yeah.
you could be somebody who was, a famous Wall Street banker, and if you happen to like reading Stephen King and Dean Koontz, nobody was going to call you a mutant or whatever. And so, I agreed with that intro. Reading through some of that stuff. What is all sort of accepted more as normal now. I mean, yeah, I used to get picked on and stuff for that, when I was little. I wanted to just read every horror book and weird book, that was there, that was in the library, the movies that I watched and everything else. But now that stuff, shit, all you gotta do is watch follow X on the day of the last drive-in to see how many people who are out there that champion this stuff. Here in Arizona, it's incredible the amount of, I will just call it counterculture, whether it's horror, retro, old movies, jewelry made out of roadkill bones, like all that stuff is just hugely popular here to the point where nobody even bats an eye.
Yeah. I would like to say, and at the risk of I actually after I wrote this, I was kind of like, maybe I need to reword some of this because I didn't want to come off as, and maybe it did, as like
Gatekeeping.
yeah, exactly. Like I'm actually glad that this stuff's available because I still want it.
Right.
And the more people that have access to this stuff, I mean, I love that I can just go on my phone and watch like any of a million streaming horror movies that I only had read about when I was a kid and couldn't find anywhere. It's awesome. People should enjoy anything they want to enjoy. I was more just trying to explain how I was formed, as growing up, and how different things were when I was younger than they are now. But I would never begrudge anyone that wants to go to some giant, whatever con and cosplay and do all that stuff. That's cool. People should totally be able to do all that stuff. I just wanted to make it a personal statement of how I grew up, what I was enjoying, and why I kind of,
Well,
I don't know.
let me interrupt and interject for just a moment, because
Yeah.
I feel like the title of the book, For Weird People, and you
Yeah.
could say, well, on the one hand, who's he calling weird? But I feel like what your introduction painted was that that truly is a term of endearment, and that in a certain
Oh, for
sense,
sure.
yeah, you're not weird to me because I really and have always liked this stuff. So I feel like that came across very well. And, I think in reading it, both from your tone and everything else, as Black Cat says, it's a badge of courage. It was it was an endearing, welcoming sort of thing. Not that you're calling, somebody a term to be denigrating, that you're using it more as a welcome, brothers and sisters, to my, list of stories. So I thought that came across very well.
Yeah, thank you. That's very well put. Better than I was saying it. Yeah, well, I'm glad.
I
I'm
learned a
glad
few
that
things over
you
these 3 or 4 years about
crossed
doing interviews.
that
For Flixology when he's on the show, it's a fucking disaster. Flixology says, it is interesting, the thing is that this is the niche of people that were into horror, metal, Dungeons and Dragons, and the Three Investigators. And then Black Cat says, no, they picked on me. Well, you were like a cute blonde girl in the 70s. Of course not. Flixology says, I got picked on as a kid for watching this movie called Mortuary. But you had to have Ben around to watch your back. That's the thing. Black Cat says, maybe I was too weird to notice. So let's move past the introduction and let me field you this question. Because for me anyway, most of the stuff that I write, and I am no writer, and shut up. There's always a little bit of a piece of you
You are.
in the stories and tales that you're writing. And so I think you can definitely feel, well, there's little pieces of, at least from what I know of you, in most of these stories. But which one in that regard do you feel like was the one that bared your heart a little more than the others? And I have a guess for which one I think you're going to say, but I'm not going to say it. I'll let you answer.
I'm gonna say it's the final story in the book, Monster in the Meadow.
Okay.
However, what was your guess?
13 steps.
Okay, I was gonna say, however, there's a darker side of me, and that one is 13 steps. I guess I'm hoping the Monster in the Meadow side wins out, because that 13 steps guy is really pissed, and it's hard to live that way. So, but yeah, I mean, you, I would say I would call your guess accurate. Yeah, but I would hope that ultimately it's the Monster in the Meadow is the biggest part of me.
So that's I am halfway through Ashes to Ashes, and so then I have the very last story there to read, and I've enjoyed it the whole way through. All of these have just been very clever. They're all very unique and different, which I really appreciated. Just how different each one feels, especially in terms of setting, in what I will say, and I'm sure Black Cat will like this, the smell of the stories. Some of them, you're reading Tijuana Cockfight, and I'm smelling the desert and beer, and then you read something like The Pub, and then you have more of a wet, coastal sort of sent to
Yeah.
it. What did you when you were first thinking of doing a variety of these stories, did you do that on purpose to try and pick environments or settings that were so different from each other, or did the stories just come out and that's a happy side effect?
I mean, a little of both. That sounds weird, but it's more like, I mean, that's just the way I write. I like to introduce tactile stuff in there to kind of give people a sense of place. And I don't do, it feels weird to talk about writing. It feels so pretentious.
Well,
I never talk about this stuff,
that's why
but
you're on the show, Scott.
okay, damn it. But once I had some of the stories, I maybe had five of them that I decided I wanted to be in there. I did realize how different they are because I was like, wow, there's no way, there's no theme to this. That might have been where the whole like, oh, now I can use this strange stories for weird people, because that encompasses a lot. But I realized that there was not going to be any kind of theme, and all the stories were definitely set. I mean, I have a snowstorm. Yeah, you got the pub, which is on the sea. Tijuana. Small town, like 1960s Americana kind of stuff.
Firestorms, all sorts of shit.
What's that?
Firestorms, all sorts of shit.
Fire, yeah, firestorms. I actually wrote that story during a firestorm up here in the Northwest when it was for weeks. It just looked like we were in hell up here. It was orange and the air was so thick with smoke, you couldn't go out of your house. And
Man.
even in your house, you could. And it was hell. It was hellish. And that's when I actually, during the time I was writing that story. So that's based on my real feelings
Yeah.
at that time. But yeah, no, I guess it ultimately it's kind of haphazard. I did arrange the stories, though, to sort of make it purposefully as different as possible, because once I realized there was no theme, I was like, might as well go all the way. Let's just, make each story as individual as possible. So I think it turned out okay that way.
Which of these was the hardest to finish?
They're all hard to finish. They're all easy to start and incredibly hard to finish.
Right.
I have to look at it. The ending, the 13 steps, took me forever to figure out exactly how I wanted it. And Winter of the Witch. I fought with both of those for the endings. I'd say those are tied. 13 Steps and Winter of the Witch were a bitch to figure out how I was going to end it, because I'm a what they call a pantser. I never plot stories, and rarely do they spring fully formed into my brain. I just have an idea and I start writing and see where it's going to go.
Right.
And the most frustrating ones, because both of those stories, those are probably two of the longest stories in here, I think. So it's even more frustrating when the story gets to be like 10, 11, 12 pages and you still can't figure out how you're going to end it. And then you just want to destroy it and forget about it. And
Did you have any that you started and just decided? Don't know where this is going. Forget it. Stick it in a box.
I mean, I have tons of those. Not for this book in particular, though. But yeah, I've got so many unfinished stories, and I just keep them because I think maybe one day that idea is going to pop into my head, and I can go dig it out and finish it. A guy, a friend of mine in a writer's group I used to be in told me that. I had brought a portion of a story to share, and everybody gave me notes on it and stuff. And then between that night and the next meeting, I decided that there was nothing to be done with it, and I destroyed it. And at the next meeting, he was asking me about it, and I said, "Oh no, I got rid of it." And he's horrified. He's like, "Never delete anything. What are you doing? Are you crazy?" That's like, shit, man. Okay. And that really like impressed in my head, like, okay, yeah, never delete anything. Doesn't cost you anything to keep it around. And you might want to do something with it. And actually, that's happened before. I'm not sure if any of these stories were I don't think that applies to any of these stories, but I definitely have had stories that maybe didn't get published anywhere, but they're finished, you know. And that's really the satisfaction, is just finishing. It's nice to publish. It's nice to have things out. It's really nice to have people be supportive and tell you they like your work. But the best thing is just writing the end, on the end of something.
Right.
Like, just to finish something is, that's the goal, you know. Maybe you get it published, maybe not, but hey, you created something from start to finish, and it's yours, and that's what I like, so.
So we have two writing level comments slash questions from Flexology, starting with this comment first. He says, "I totally get starting and not finishing. It's so hard to get back into it when he loses momentum." And then also asked,
Yeah.
"I am super interested in the process of how you start these stories from the first concept. When you say it's easy to start, does it start with a feeling, a message, or an experience that you want to share?"
That's a good question. I don't know if there's any one answer to that, but I tend to, my ideas most of the time stem from characters. I'm really character driven more than story driven, and wow, I don't know if I've ever s said this out loud or thought this through. I feel like if I can find the right characters, that they're gonna tell me what their story is, if that makes sense.
Sure, yeah.
And because I just it's just from observing people in real life, you know. I've known a lot of real life characters. If those who don't know me that well, I've been a musician since, you know, the end of high school and up until a few years ago. I haven't played live in a while, but that's a wild world to be in. You meet all kinds of wacky people, and I've watched their, you know, I've made friends with a lot of them, and I've watched their lives and how they live them, and their real life stories. I mean, they're real life characters from like a book, you know. And most of my favorite books are character driven. So most of my ideas usually come from some character that I've conceived, maybe an amalgam of people I know or have seen before, or some could just be somebody I imagine that I'd like to know, you know.
Right.
And once I have a character, usually I can figure out what their story's going to be. And that's most of them, but not all of them. Sometimes it's an idea. Sometimes some bizarre situation will pop into my head and present itself. I can think of a story. Again, let me see if I can. It's kind of sad when you have to refer to your own book to remember what stories are in it. Oh, so like Mr. 6 O'Clock, and there's no like amazing characters in that story, and it's just this weird little kind of Twilight Zone thing. That's definitely just an idea. I totally idea driven. However, the story that follows, Get Right with God, total character driven. It's all the story of this one guy, basically, So it could go either way, or I'll tell you what I can't do is I can't decide I'm going to write a horror story or I'm going to write a science fiction story. I can't pick the genre. For some reason, I just cannot do it.
No.
Never works. I'll be writing, and then all of a sudden I'll realize, oh, this is a horror story. Okay, now I know where we're gonna go, So.
Well, I feel like that's sort of the title of the book, right? It's not really a horror story. It's not really a science fiction story. It's just a strange story. It's,
Yeah.
you know, I feel like it's the same thing, and often the books that grab me the most are the ones that are just there. They don't really purport themselves to be the next big horror or the next big sci-fi. They just have things in them where you're like, yeah, that's not reality, but it also kind of is. You know, it's like mixing colors on a palette. It's not any one individually, it's the combination somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, totally. And I like those books are kind of a surprise sometimes. There's been several books I picked up and started reading and thought it was one thing, and then it turns out to be another in like a good way. You're like, whoa, I can't, okay, we just turned a wild corner. And yeah, I just think the idea of strange stories, and it's not totally original. To be honest, there's a writer named Robert Aichman. He's an English writer, and I think he referred to his stories as strange stories. Although he's often labeled a horror writer, and I guess that's accurate in some ways, but really, if you read his stories, what I would call them is just unsettling. I mean, there's rarely like overt or gore or monsters or anything like that, but they're unsettling and they're very strange. And so that was kind of the vibe I was going for, and that's kind of the vibe I go for. Ultimately, I hardly ever nail it, but honestly, that's the kind of thing I really strive to write, like unclassifiable, uncategorizable stuff. Also, that's what keeps me from getting professionally published, unfortunately, so.
Yep, the old
That
kiss of
was
death. I'm a hardcore, filthy horror writer. Oh, I don't really know what I
well,
write. They're just kind of weird.
yep. Pass. Well, most of the notes. So when I was when my novel was finished, Ghosts on the Highway, plug. Before I decided to self-publish, I submitted it around, and I was trying to get an agent even. And I even had I know this guy, Jonathan Evason. He's a best-selling writer. He was a singer for a punk band in the early Seattle days, like the early 80s. And somehow I befriended him. And he even introduced me to his agent.
Oh
And
shit.
I submit I was she asked me, yeah, she was like, yeah, submit your manuscript, So it went around, and several agents looked at it and a few publishers. All the notes I got back, if they got back to me, a lot of them didn't even bother. But the ones that did, none of them said, like, oh, you suck. Don't ever write anything else again. This novel's terrible. Nobody said anything like that. They all said, this is good, but we don't know what it is and we don't know how to market it.
Right.
And I was like, fuck. Oh, yeah, that whole marketing thing, that's not something you consider when you're being in the creative process. So, That's why I ended up self-publishing the novel. And then after that, I mean, I just look at what I write and I'm like, yeah, nobody's gonna want nobody's gonna want this stuff, 'cause what is it? What is Tijuana cockfight? Who wants to publish a story about cockfighting?
Well, here, let me tell
Nobody.
you. And for those of you who may have joined after the introduction, we are talking with Scott West, who just recently finished and published his second book, Strange Stories for Weird People. Fantastic fella, fantastic author, super creative. And what kind of stories are they? Well, just as the title tells you, they are strange stories. They all have a little bit of a sort of surreal, nightmarish kind of bent to them. They're all very distinct and different in their settings and kind of their tone. But if you're looking for something that is easily quantifiable, perhaps look elsewhere. But I would urge you not to, because it's a fantastic book. All the stories are very fun, very descriptive, draw you in. It's the sort of book that is perfect, I would say, for a rainy fall afternoon with a fireplace or something on in the background and some rolling thunder, a good drink, and an afternoon off of shitty work and just sitting and reading. In that regards, it's one of those things where as time slips away from you, you go, man, I wish I could have just sat and just read the thing straight, cover to cover. In my opinion, it's that good and that enjoyable. But that's who we're talking to is Mr. Scott West.
Wow.
Black Cat, by the way, says marketing has ruined the world. I agree. I also agree with
Yeah.
her in that she says all of the stories are fantastic. Krista wants to know
Thank you.
if this will be available as an audiobook. As an audiobook.
I don't think so. I'm not against the idea. I just don't know how to do it. I don't think, technically, I could probably do it. I don't think Amazon's Kindle publishing has that option, although I could look into it. However, I do the barcode and ISBN are my own. So even though I'm selling it through Amazon, the fact that I paid for my own barcode and ISBN means I can do whatever I want with it. So if anyone can hip me to how audiobooks are made, I mean, I'm not adverse to having it as an audio version. It'd be pretty cool, actually. I just don't know how to do
Well, since we have Zykolos here in the chat, Zykolos, welcome and good to see you. Zykolos, we're talking
Zykolos.
with Scott West, who you may know in the chat is King Dinosaur 69. This is the man himself here with his badass heavy metal gauntlet on. Maybe we can get Zykolos to narrate one of the stories in his beautiful German accent. I feel like in terms of audiobooks, I would say other than maybe coaching people on some recording equipment, whatever, you had the crew, man. We did it with the plot. We have the people. We have enough people. You could get it done. You want to have it done? We'll get it together and get it for you, man. We'll stitch it together. We'll release this as some audio shit. We can get
That would
Flexology
be
to read
amazing.
one. I'll read one. You could read one. We'll get, just
Dude.
get the feelers out there, man. You want to do it? We'll do it. We'll get it
Wow.
in there.
Wow. Things are happening. Whoa.
And as a matter of fact, and I wanted to ask you this, we
Yeah.
can sort of pick which one you would like, but if you want to do a test the waters version of that, perhaps next week, if you are amenable to the idea, perhaps I will just read one of these on stream live for our
Oh,
audience.
dude. Yeah, I was hoping that you would. I don't have a preference. I think whatever one you would like to read would be the one to read. I want you to be excited about it. Yeah, I was really hoping you would read one. I love the way you do narration, man.
Oh, thanks, dude. Yeah, I would love
Yeah.
to. I would love to read one of these. Obviously, we're not going to give away the whole book live because I really would like for people to support you and buy a copy of this. But it's maybe a teaser or a sort of this is what you'd get kind of thing, reading it out loud. And again, if you want to, we can slice the audio piece of that out and send that to you. And then you can also have that if you want to pitch it to other people about, hey, we'd like to get a full audio version of this done. I think we can totally do that. I think we can totally do that for you.
That'd be pretty cool.
Flixology says, by the way, I think Rick Rubin said that you should just create art for yourself and maybe someone else will like it. Otherwise, when you create it for the masses, it's not really art anymore. I agree. I think you can walk a little bit of a line on that. But also you have to make what you want to make. If you're only making it
I
because
totally
that's what
agree.
you think people want, then you're shit in the bed. And nobody likes a shitty bed.
Hey, Flix, did you read that in Rick Rubin's book?
So
Because I tried to listen to the audiobook, but his voice is so mellow, I just kept falling asleep.
that'd be like the Zycolos audiobook. It would just lull you to sleep with his soft, beautiful German voice. He says he thinks he saw it on Twitter. Black
That's
Cat,
where
by the
everything is.
way, is a fan of all the stories, says all the stories are fantastic.
Thank
So,
you.
yeah, I
Thank
think
you.
at least clearly from this group of people and from this side of the table, rave reviews. It's just excellent. Again, here's a cheers to you, man. It's both a testament. I know how hard you worked on this, and this is book number two. Now, let me ask you this bit of a question.
Yeah.
Any potential plans for Strange Stories for Weird People too?
I don't have plans for a sequel as far as a short story collection. I do fully intend to have another book out before this year is over, though.
Oh shit, are you fucking
It'll be
kidding
a,
me?
yeah, no, I, that's my intention. It'll be, but it'll be a novel. It won't be another short story collection.
Fight a tail, it'd be wagging real fast. And by the way, if you, for whatever reason, are unaware, the link that we have pasted here, and we'll paste it again, the link to buy the current new book, Strange Stories for Weird People, if you click on that and you click on Scott West's name at the top, you can always. Also by his first book, Ghosts on the Highway.
That one's
Which
also
of
in a
these do
Kindle
you,
edition,
which of
by the
these do
way.
you think was harder for you to finish?
The novel by
Yeah.
far. Oh, dude. I finished it over a weekend. I literally locked myself in a room with a bottle of whiskey and didn't sleep for like 3 days to
So you did
finish
a
it.
true rock star style.
I had to. I absolutely had to. I've been fucking around with it for so long. And I was married at the time, and wife was also a writer. And she was just on my ass constantly, like, why aren't you finishing your fucking book? And I had to write a novel. That thing was it was an exercise in just learning how to write in a completely different way. So, I mean, I had a draft, but it was a mess. It didn't make any sense. Things didn't connect. It was all over the place. So, yeah, I literally, like on a Friday night, well, she had a conference, I think somewhere on the East Coast, Boston or somewhere. So she flew out on a Friday. And that Friday afternoon, I just locked myself in my room with a bottle of whiskey.
Just did it.
And I said, I'm not coming out of this room until this novel is like makes sense and has an ending that makes sense. And it was like Monday morning or something. I blearily like shut my computer off and it was done. I didn't look at it for a few days, and when I opened up the file and read it, I was like, it's a book.
Yes.
But yeah, it was hard. It was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do was finish that book. Oh my God.
So is there anything else? Now, granted, we could stay and talk as long as you want to, but we are moving close to an hour. Is there anything that you just want to either get off your chest, get off your head, tell us about trivia, anything else wise about this book?
Well, I guess I would just, I mean, more than anything, I just want people to be entertained. I just want these stories to be fun to read. Like you said, they're all over the place. Some of them are darker than others. There's a few that are, kind of, I don't know. Whimsical might not be the word, but they're lighter. There's lights and darks. A couple of them I think are really heavy. At least one, personally, is extremely heavy, and I wrote it in a kind of exorcism of carrying this. Carrying the ghost of this guy around. That'd be the story, Get Right with God, if anyone's interested. I mean, sometimes you write to just get stuff out of your head, to be able to let something go you've been hanging on to for a long time. And you don't always know how it's going to come out. This one was pretty straightforward. The ending is a complete fiction. But a lot of the stuff leading up to that is not. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it other than I just hope people be entertained. And I tried a couple of these. I'm hoping maybe will be, thought-provoking.
So, Flixology says, I just wanted to congratulate Scott on the book again and his overall kindness and good nature. You are one of the good ones. It's so great to see such a gifted person
Oh man.
who's also nice. Keep going. You have such a talent. The world needs more of it. So, here's a definite fucking cheers to that. Couldn't have said it better
Oh man.
myself.
Thank you. Cheers, dude. I really appreciate that. I will say, without getting too in-depth and personal, this last year has been maybe the hardest year of my life. And the fact that I could finally get this book out and the amount of kindness and support that people have given me is really sustaining me right now because things are pretty rough and have been for the last year. And that's all I'll say about that. But I just want everybody to know how fucking appreciative I am of all of you. It really means the world to me.
Well,
So.
means the world to me to have you here. How many times, how many nights, and to share all these stories and everything else. I mean, it's been a rock and roller coaster of pee pee poo poo about the last year or so. So, I totally read you and hear you on that one. Krista also looks very much forward to hearing your stories. And yeah, Flexology says, "Hey man, we're here for you, my friend." That's 1,000%. We're always here, whether it's sharing a laugh or sharing a story or a book, I hope that at the very least, if you pick up a copy of this book, which I think you should, I think you'll see a little bit of all of the above. There's some dark humor, there's some complete dark, there's some strange, but the thing about the stories in here the most for me is I'll occasionally read I'll say books or stories by other people, and some of them are very much a wow, I had no idea somebody would act that way, so on and so forth. But each one of the stories that's in here, they're like universal emotions and images. Whether it's some of the fears or paths or tragedies that happen to a lot of the characters. In that sense, at the risk of using a douchebag word, there's a lot of humanity, a lot of common humanity to the stories that I feel like to have 10 stories where, as Black Cat says, you can feel them deep down is a testament to your skill and creativity. I don't know if I've ever read an anthology like this where almost every story, I'm like, there's a little piece of me in there. And that's rare. That's fucking rare. And that's, man, that's again, a hats off to you on that.
Wow. I'm not even sure I know what to say. Thank you, man. That's incredible to hear. I think it's important, and I will say for somebody like me, I struggle with I really go back and forth with this love hate with the human race thing, you know. And it's easy to see people one dimensionally or two dimensionally. But I think the writing I like, I'm not saying my writing, the people I like to read, find, like you said, those common threads of humanity and make you think about those kinds of things. And just again, this like the stuff I've been dealing with this last year has made me really kind of rethink about how you don't know what other people are going through, you know. You could look at somebody, they might be putting on a completely false face every day, every time you see them. You don't really know what's going on in their lives.
Right.
And I just think that's really important to kind of remember. And I hope there's a little bit of that in this book. So
Oh, totally. I
thank you,
mean,
man.
yeah, it's, you know, you can, I feel like there's you know, that's like the life and death, love and hate, all being sort of kindred drums, right? Like, yeah, humanity is the worst, but it's also the best. You know, and I think
For sure.
sometimes when
Yeah.
it's the worst, it's that much worse because you know how much kindness and love and caring and everything that can be there, and you want to just grab people and shake them. But as you rightfully said, you don't know what people are going through. You don't know what pain and struggles, you know, some of them may be walking around just ready to crack. You know, they go inside their house and, you know, put their head in their hands and sob for 3 hours. And so again, you know, when you read the stories in this
Yeah.
book, I mean, you know, just without giving anything away out of them, just sort of going, you know, from the top to the bottom. I mean, you have somebody who's trying to make something where they, you know, found a way to try and make either money or make their way through the world in sort of a fish out of water. You know, you have somebody who's just struggling with a latent fear to the best of their ability. You know, you have people who are dealing with profound loss, people who are dealing with, you know, sort of an immense curiosity, people who have fought and struggled with their own sort of internal demons in the in knowing that they are not the person that they want to be and that other people would hope they would be. You know, bitterness at society and the way things have gone. Unable to live up to huge mistakes and just face the music for them and do what's right. Challenges where you're beset on all sides, and sometimes the only way to deal with that is to just, gather them upon you and choke them down the best you can. I mean, they're all universally human, all these stories that are in here. And that's where I would say, again, in terms of your introduction at the beginning of the book, weird people, we're all weird people. All of us who would even purport to be the most normal of normal, we're all a little
Yeah.
weird because the world is weird and it's a struggle. And there's no instruction
Yeah.
manual that says this is the way you're supposed to do it and this is the way it's going to be. So I really think that even though the
Absolutely.
book, in that sense, looks again like some of the more treasured horror story anthologies that I've seen, quote unquote, it's really not. It's a book about people. It's a book about just the human condition. So spectacular job, sir. We really did a fucking knock it out of the park job with this.
Thank you, sincerely. Man, that means a lot. I appreciate that.
Cheers to you, brother.
Cheers. And all you guys out there. I don't know who all's out there. Hey, I just want to say also, I want to plug, first of all, Flixology, your episodes on the In Film We Trust podcast, fucking rock, man. Those were fun to listen to. That's one thing. I also want to I want to make sure people, you mentioned the plot. Our friend Jay Corso, as he goes by now, check his stuff out. Check out The Lurking Transmission, Evan Dean Shelton. He's a musician and also has a and also a writer. Please check out his stuff. And anybody who's here, I don't know who's out there, but if any of you are here tonight that haven't been on Cigar Goyle's channel before, stick around because his show, and we've been back and forth and up and down with this because he's gone through a lot of stuff too. And this show has gone from like what's 5 nights, 6 nights a week to 1 to 3 to the current two. But I'll tell you what, and I know I'm not the only one to say this, but I'll just speak for myself. His show got us through a lot of tough times. To know that you can just log on the night he's going to be on and talk about from anything from astrophysics to diarrhea. I mean, it's you never know or what the or smash squirrels. You never know what you're going to get, but it's always going to be a good group of people. And it's a great show, and he's an awesome dude, and I consider him a brother now. He's been a good guy, helped me through a lot. And so if you're here for the first time, stick around. Subscribe to Cigar Goyle's channel because he's awesome.
Yeah, if you want to hear some occasional disgusting stories for disgusting people, stick around and listen to this show. But yeah,
Also,
absolutely.
he won't admit it, but he's a damn good writer himself, and he needs to get that book published.
Boo. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. But yeah, as King Dinosaur has said there, we have a lot of great friends that are sort of all out
Oh,
there.
sorry, and read Black Hat Poppy's blog.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely make sure you read Black Cat's Poppy's blog. Even though she will often say that nobody reads it or nobody likes it, it's not true. It is an incredible slice of life from an era that I did not live through, and it's incredibly fascinating, told by the perspective of somebody who, despite what she may say, is incredibly intelligent and incredibly sweet, and in that sense, incredibly normal. You know, fantastic writing there. Check out, you know, we have the little link in the thing that posts over there, flexology101.com. Make sure you're always checking out and following Phil DeGlass. Awesome dude. He's on some podcasts, does his own pairing of the premium pairings of movies and drinks. Evan Dean Shelton, Lurking Transmission, has a show himself. Check out Robo Pulp, aka Jay Corso. He's a very creative dude, very nice. We've had him on the show before, and assisted him in that super cool movie, The Plot. So a lot of fun people here. And you know what? For all of those, for all of those of you who stop by and just do their streams, Zemedek, Zykolos, who else do we have in here? Shorty Straw, all sorts of fun, creative people. And all of us together, I feel like, have helped us get through what has been an incredibly difficult, I will say, last 5 years, let alone the last year.
Yeah.
You know, for me, the show came about basically there in 2020, and was one of the few things that helped me keep my sanity. And all of you out there and your support has really helped me a lot. So in that sense, it's my pleasure to be able to maybe give you some laughter and entertainment at a bare scraping the bottom of the barrel 2 nights a week. I still feel sad that I don't do it as much as I used to. But it does give me the opportunity to talk to incredible writers and authors like Mr. Scott West. Scott, anything else you want to say before we sign off here and call it a night?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Just check out my stuff. Go to Amazon. Oh, yes. One thing. If you do check out my books, please, please, please consider going on Amazon and also Goodreads and leaving a rating and review. It really helps indie writers because nobody's pushing this stuff except ourselves. So please, 3 seconds even, and just give it a star rating and write one line even of what you think of it. I'd really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
So I have a question for you. And maybe the answer to this is no. But if you had or have, do you have copies of this physically there? Or are they like printed on demand only when you order them?
I have a couple right now. I'm going to be ordering some more copies. Because a friend of mine is really pushing me to do a reading here in town, even though I don't want to.
You totally should, though, dude. You got a good voice.
Well, I don't know. I did one for my novel, and it was kind of rough. But, I mean, everybody was great. A lot of people came, but personally it was really rough. But I will. Anyway, the answer to that is yeah. At some point in the next couple of weeks, I will have physical copies here. Not sure how many, though.
Yeah, Black Hat says you should do it and be super drunk when you do it.
That's probably, if I do, that is probably what I'll do.
I tell you
that
what.
That was the mistake last time. I was totally sober.
Just tell me which one you're going to read. I'll read it. And then you can like use a little hidden speaker or something and play it. And then just do an old kung fu movie style. And then he walked down the 13 steps. And what he saw when he got to the bottom.
I mean, and now I kind of want to do that. That would be amazing.
But the reason why I asked about the physical copies is because, number one, I would love an autographed copy for myself if I could get one. But I also would like to give 5 copies of this away. There's a store here in Arizona called Terror Trader that is just a huge, weirdo, bizarro, crazy sort of store. I would love to get some copies of your book there just so that...
Sounds like my kind of place.
You know, they can just be shared around and get your name out there. hopefully spread the word. So,
Yeah, man, I
I
can
feel
hook you
like.
up. I had I told you that we had the original spine that didn't work out. I asked Timothy, the artist at work the other day. I was like, "Hey, man, do you think we could take the unused spine art and make bookmarks out of them?" And he was like, "Yeah, I
That's a
think
good
I can do that.
idea.
I have all this paper up in my attic, that I didn't know what I was going to do with." So today he dropped off 200 Strange Stories for Weird People bookmarks. So when I do get the physical copies, whatever I end up doing with them, and I'll hook you up with some, but I'm gonna slip those bookmarks in there too. I just thought that would be like a fun, kind of cool thing.
I think
So
it's a great idea. I think this is, again, such a great book, such a great read,
thank you.
fantastic stories. Thank you very much for taking the time out of your evening to come by on the show and talk to us about a little bit of the writing process, a little bit of the background, some little trivia pieces of what you put in there. Again, it's spectacular, man. Hats off to you. It's a great accomplishment. I hope you are as at the very least, half as proud of yourself as I am proud of you. So, you're awesome, dude.
Thank you. Well, it means a lot to me. And I thank you for having me on your show. It's an honor. It's been a while. We've talked about it off and on, like, oh, I should come back on the show, but I didn't really have a reason to.
I
And now I do,
mean,
so.
not that there always has to be a reason,
Well,
I'm talking
yeah,
about
we can
just
get
the.
drunk and talk about bad horror. What was it? Hot horror takes again?
Exactly. Yeah, we can talk about luring in Sasquatch with a poison pie and fucking a hairy Yeti out in your weird little cabin near the woods.
that's true. I'm always down to talk about that stuff.
And hey, Ms. Tiffany Chanel, thank you so much for stopping by. It's always good to see
Hi,
you.
Miss Tiffany.
As a sign off to the end of this episode, again, we've been talking to Scott West, also known as King Dinosaur 69, who recently finished his second book, Strange Stories for Weird People. You can buy that on Amazon. There's some links here in the chat. Also, if you search for that, he's like the top of the list, top of the chart, top of the autocomplete. So make sure you stop by and pick up a copy. It's a fantastic book. I'm sure you will enjoy it. And he also has another book called Ghosts on the Highway, which is also equally impressive. Great read. Scott's a great writer, great musician, great friend. Thank you so much, man, for stopping in. I think that's going to do it. If you want to say goodbye to everybody out there, this will be it.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you. Thank you for showing up tonight and for your questions, and I wish you all well.
All right, and as we say at the end of all of our episodes, stay safe, keep the faith, and all of that good shit. We will see you again next time next week for another episode of the Cigar Glory Lounge. Let's go ahead and see who's out there. We'll send you on over to another one of our lovely friends, and you can keep them company for a little bit.